Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
When I started in the mortgage business back in 2002, one of the areas that was a mystery to me was mortgage rates. Like, where, what moved them? Why was one day it was this and the next day it was that? So I talked to a bunch of loan officers that had been in the business for decades, and they, what I thought, passed along to me the wisdom that they had and where mortgage rates were coming from. And one of the secrets about mortgage rates they dispensed to me was, drum roll please, if I wanted to know where mortgage rates were headed, I needed to watch the 10-year Treasury. After watching the Treasury for about 6 months or so, I quickly realized that many times mortgage rates did the exactly opposite of what the Treasuries did. Well, I may not be the brightest bulb in the pack, but that indicated to me that I probably needed to look elsewhere to figure out where mortgage rates actually were coming from, what would be a better guide to what was going to happen in mortgage rates, what would be a better indicator. And it only took me a few days that I learned that mortgages were sold as mortgage bonds, and that was a much better indicator of rates. So since early, mid-2002, I've been watching the mortgage rates from the mortgage-backed security bonds. I've been watching the bonds to see what might happen in the rates, which has been a much better indicator. And since that is where the mortgage rates come from, and it, you know, whatever moves those rates is what's going to move my actual rate. So what's going to move those rates, the bonds, is going to move my mortgage rates. And as bonds go up, mortgage rates go down. And as mortgage rates go up, bonds go down. So that's what I watch. And one of those factors is what the Federal Reserve does. And on October 30th, the Federal Reserve lowered the federal fund rate by a quarter. And I'm excited to have John Iacona, mortgage market guru and Advisors market analyst. John, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me back. I didn't know if I was going to be allowed back, but I am. Yeah. Thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, we took a vote, and you passed, so you did okay.
Thank you.
So with what I just said, what does the Fed announcement mean to mortgage rates?
All right. Well, a lot of times you listen to the media and they scream out, oh, rates have dropped by 25 basis points, quarter of a point. Hooray, go refinance. It doesn't work like that. It is not tied directly to mortgage rates. So what the Fed funds rate is the overnight lending rate that banks charge each other to lend money within each other. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with 30-year mortgage rates. Do they sometimes react when things are moved? Yeah, of course. They react to a lot of different things, mortgage rates. But what the Fed funds rate, again, it's the overnight lending rate between banks that they lend each other, that they utilize to lend money to each other. So what happens when the Fed lowers rates? Well, the Fed lowers rates to stimulate economic activity. So by lowering the rate, it actually makes it easier to loosen up some money, open up the money supply a little bit, and it ignites economic activity. But when money increases, it also is very inflationary because there's so much more money being passed around. So now we got to look at what do bonds like? What do they dislike? That's where our interest rates come from that Rick just mentioned. Well, bonds hate inflation. How are you going to invest in a bond, say it's at 3% yielding, if inflation ticks up to 3%? You're not making anything on your money. Bonds are a fixed, safe investment, but if inflation ticks up, it erodes at the money you're going to be making on that bond investment. So your investment slowly dissipates if inflation increases. So inflation increases your interest rate. Interest rates are kind of like a... Well, how bonds react to that Fed funds rate is very complex, and sometimes the reaction is baked in to the move, sometimes it's not. So when you see the Fed funds rate make a change like that, usually a cut is not that good for interest rates. But again, if they're ready for it, then it might move the market in a certain way. But again, it doesn't mean right off the bat that your interest rate's getting better, all right, if that's a long answer. But it's just... it's just such a common thing I see in the industry. A lot of consumers think it's completely tied, where it's not. It's really not. It's tied to more things like home equity loans, maybe car loans, shorter term loans, credit, maybe some credit interest rates. And then when you see like prime as a rate, prime is 3+ the Fed funds rate. So the Fed funds rate is like 1.5 to 1.75 in that range. So prime is 3+ that. So prime would be 4.5 to 4.75. And then you have some equity loans that are prime plus 1. So you have 4.5, 4.75 plus 1. So it would be 5.5, 5.75. So that's how that works. So, but again, Fed makes a rate cut. It is not directly tied to your interest rate over 30 years. And sometimes it could actually be a bad news item because it is very inflationary. Bonds hate inflation. When bonds do bad, your interest rate goes up. So there you go. In a nutshell, Rick.
Well, you know, and I, you know, sometimes that's part of what you'll notice. Now, this time, the Feds lowered the federal fund rate, and immediately we got a little break in the rates. Not a huge amount, but we did get a little bit of break, which I believe that was mostly based on what the Feds came out and said, much more than it was on the lowering of the federal fund rate.
Yes, exactly. And actually, what they said, which was goes hand in hand, what we just said, was Fed speakers mentioned that inflation levels are low. So that's basically, again, in a nutshell, what they were talking about following the Fed rate cut was that inflation levels were low, and they seem like they're very low, and that's why they're trying to add economic activity and increase inflation, but because of their comments are saying, we're saying along the lines of how inflation's low and they think it's going to remain low, that actually helped bonds that day, which helped interest rates.
Yes, and that's what I noticed. But I've also, you know, you and I have been doing this a long time. I've noticed over and over again where the Feds will raise the federal fund rate and rates will go down. And yep. Exactly opposite, they'll lower the federal fund rate and rates go up. And I, you know, that's one of the big pieces that happened. And I think part of that is that the federal fund rate is, like you said, it's an overnight rate. It's at the very short end of the rate spectrum, where yep. mortgage rates are at the long end.
Yep. 100% correct.
And so
you are 100% right.
Yeah. So that makes a difference on what's going to happen with, you know, with what the Feds do and then what's going to happen with the mortgage rates. Now, what did the Feds say that they're going to, I mean, what is their outlook for what they're going to do from now, you know, for the next few times they meet?
Yeah. So what they said, basically, they changed like their little individual words that everybody that actually moves the market. If they have like definite words, then it might be like one way that market would move. But if they change it to like a weaker instead of like a not so definite word, like they will definitely make a rate cut in December, or they are likely to, but they are more data dependent, and that's kind of what they changed it to. That's what actually the market liked, because the terminology they used went from a more definite stance to a more like weaker stance, where it's more like maybe great make another cut, or maybe make another move, but probably not. And we're going to be way more data dependent, and the data looks like it's pointing this way, so there's probably not going to be any more cuts, probably less inflation, so bonds should do better. So that's why the market liked it, which is amazing. So after the cut, the communication following that cut is what really moved the markets. The cut had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and that's what I thought had happened based on what was said. And then he not only on their statement that they did, but Powell came out and talked about
that chair.
Yeah, the chair. He came out and he basically said that. I mean, it seemed like what I interpreted as. So you can interpret it for me. But I thought he basically said, for now, we're not moving the federal fund rate anymore.
In so many words, that's what I kind of understood as well. I don't think there's any more rate cuts on the table. But you know, this stuff could change like overnight. But I think from what those recent statement and the recent communication that they gave, I think there's just some cuts off the table now for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, and I think there was some expectation that there would be another one at one time, and now that expectation seems to be completely gone.
I agree.
Yeah. So what does all this mean to the consumer?
So interest rates were trading sideways. know, and like I said at the beginning of this call, a lot of different things, or this show, a lot of different things impact interest rates. So, yeah, the Fed decision, comments, and everything surrounding it impacts bonds, and then it trickles down to rates eventually. But other things impact rates as well. So we already saw the impact of that meeting, and bonds were kind of sideways, if not actually got a little better. But now, following that, a lot of talks with tariff changes with China. One day they're on, and one day they're off. When like a big news item came out, basically mentioning that talks with China kind of went well, and they're going to cancel some of the existing tariffs with China on their goods in certain like periods or phases they mentioned. So the stock market soared on that news. So what happens is people or investors take money out of the bond market and put it into the stock market if they think the stock market's going to do good so they can make money on their investments. So when this news article came out early this morning, basically like futures were up 150 in the stock market before it opened. It was soaring early this morning. So when that happens, the bond market really takes a beating, and then the stock market does great, which it did, which happened today. Bonds were down almost like, actually I can tell you right now. They were down. So when the bond market sells off like this and the stock market does good, so when the bond market does poorly, bonds were down almost to, let's see, the low is 160, another 30, so 70 basis points on the day. That's a huge day. That's a big loss for the bond market. Just today, in one day, that's very large. 100 basis points equates to about 0.25% in interest rate. So we're down we're down like 70, so in between an eighth and a quarter. But that happened today. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So like we see with other news items what impact mortgage bonds. So today's news that impacted mortgage bonds was the news with China. And so interest rates did get a little worse today. But good news was they hit a floor of support at 173, and they bounced off it. And they're a little higher now. They're at 192, so 20 off the floor. And their next ceiling, which they broke yesterday, which used to be a floor, is at 101.21. So you've got about 70 basis points to go before we get the pricing back that we had the last couple days. So, but I think we're in a safe area. I think bonds are going to trade sideways. Interest rates should be fairly the same over the next few days. Hopefully some other news items come out that show strength for the bond market and give strength to the bond market where it can break through these resistance levels that are above head, so bonds could increase in price, and then we'll get some better rates. But you know what? We're I don't know where rates are right now, but when talking about rates, I know they're at historical lows. Rates are very dependent on what your personal experience and what you get and what you credit score and all other stuff.
Right.
But and what products and programs you get. But I know the average interest rate over the last 45 years is 8.25. So, I mean, if your rate's at 4.5, if it's at 5, if it's at 6, it's still a good rate. So I think rates being where they are shouldn't, like if it changes over a day, at least get your package in, look for homes, maybe start talking about it, and see where you are currently. If it makes sense, you know, that's the time to do it. If you want to wait and play the game a little bit, hopefully bonds come back a little bit, maybe get a better rate in the near future. Again, we have a pending recession coming up in the next few months, a lot of things are reporting to that. So if a recession hits, interest rates tend to get a little worse. Your 401ks don't like it either, but interest rates get better, housing usually stays flat or improves. So there's a lot on the table to look at every single day, and that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about a recession, I know there's a lot of people out there predicting it, and nobody actually knows. They can say what they want, but you know, we've been on a huge increase, and so a recession just means that it slows down a little bit. When you've increased as much as we have, the recession, I mean, when people hear recession, I think, especially today, they think back to 2008, that's the market that they think we're going to go back into. The chances of that happening are slim to none. At least in my estimation, for a lot of reasons. I know you've talked about some of those reasons. Could you talk about some of those reasons now?
Would love to. So a lot of people get confused. They think about like that recession in particular that you just mentioned. So the recession back then, the housing market burst. and that caused the recession. Okay, so it's very different than now. Back then it was more of like homes were extremely overpriced. There was a ton of inventory for sale, and there was very, very small amounts of demand. Everything pointed to a to a bubble when really looking deep into it and analyzing it. Fast forward to present times. Way more demand than when there was back then, and I'll show you a quick, I'll explain a chart that I'll pull up here in a second. Inventories are tight, so there's tighter inventories, ton of demand, homes are priced more correctly, programs people are getting into make more sense. We're away from like the crazy financing back then, and we're doing smarter financing nowadays. So now what I wanted to talk about was demand. Now demand comes from, you want to look at one of these charts that I've analyzed, which is a demographic chart, and we look at like the baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, you know, all these new generations. Gen Y is millennials. Now first time home buyers are aged 33. So what you want to do is now look at a chart of where 33-year-olds come from, their birth rates, right? Well, 1986 is the year 33-year-olds were born. Well, when looking at a birth rate chart for America, we'll see that there's an inclination. So and from like 1984, maybe a little earlier, maybe like 81, beginning of the millennials, really, you'll see every year supersede the year before it with birth rates. So 82, there was more than 81. 83, more than 81. And so on, all the way up to 1989, then it dips a little bit, and then it kind of gets higher again.
Okay.
So I'm trying to explain and illustrate a chart through words for you. But essentially, the next 4 years, because we're 86, so three and a half years, there are going to be more birth rates than the year before it. So that's telling me, for 33-year-olds, so that's telling me that demand is going to continue to rise. And when demand is continuing to rise, you're going to see homes be extremely aggressively seeked out by millennials, and you're going to see home ownership continue to stay strong, home purchasing continue to stay strong, and appreciation continue to be strong. I just read a couple of reports for housing, for the housing market across the country, and three reports I looked at real quick is one of them was the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, which is a very strong index telling you where homes appreciated over the last 12 months. So it's based on single family existing homes on their resales. They said that homes over the last 12 months increased by 3.1% in price. So if you bought a home last year, you made 3.1%, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and that's
awesome.
A national number, right? Obviously, right. There's pockets of better and pockets of worse. It's a national number, but it's still good to look at, right?
Right.
So now you got to look at the CoreLogic report. CoreLogic says that homes over the last 12 months, this is based on single-family owner-occupied homes, increased by 3.5% over the last 12 months. In line, very close. And there's another stat in that report I want to go over. I'll go over it last. And then the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, House Price Index, it's a mouthful, that said that homes that are single-family homes purchased with conforming limit mortgages, excluding FHA, VA, USDA loans, increased by 4.6% over the last 12 months. These three reports are pointing to high levels of appreciation. Now, CoreLogic, back to that report. CoreLogic also says going forward, over the next 12 months, homes should increase by 5.6% across the nation on average. So that is massive appreciation. So you got, like I mentioned before, average interest rate over the last 45 years is 8.25%. Wherever we are, between whatever you are, you know, between 3 and 5, 3 and 6, you know, that's an aggressive rate, okay? That's a very strong rate. And then couple that with 5.6% appreciation, this is a secret elixir to gain wealth. It's a great time to buy. It's a great time to get started. And it's a great time to, you know, I always like saying that it's an investment that you actually get to live in. You know, you get
right.
to use your investment. A lot of people forget that. They think of it just as an investment. I can invest my money here or there. Well, this is an investment you actually get to use. It's
right.
pretty cool. So
yeah.
I think it's a great time, again, like last call, to
yep.
get into the housing market.
Yeah. You know, I was reading an article, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about millennials, and they're saying that they are actually now starting to really start to move into the housing market. That it's
mm-hmm.
that we're through 2020 to 2022, they expect the housing market to boom because of the millennials the volume of millennials that are going to move into the market, which that would indicate that the appreciation, you would think, if you got a huge amount of people moving into the market, that should keep that appreciation, you know, coming, wouldn't you think?
Yes, exactly kind of what I just said, Rick. You know, the next year from this year is going to supersede this year.
Right.
And the year after that and the year after that is going to supersede the year before it. Again, that's age 33-year-old homeowners. So I really do think demand is going to continue to increase, which is also going to help rates of appreciation.
Right.
Another cool stat about millennials is the, on average, they put less than 20% down. So if you're speaking with a millennial and they don't know that, well, on average, they put less than that down. So maybe that's something to bring up. And 7% of their down payment comes from a retirement account. So around 7%. So that's pretty interesting as well. So they utilize some of their retirement accounts to help them get some money down.
Yeah, it is amazing. I forget sometimes that people don't realize that you don't have to put 20% down. There's many many programs out there. You know, there's programs with 0% down. VA is a huge program with 0% down. Indiana has some special housing products that are they'll do the down payment. Yeah, conventionally, we can get in as low as 3% down for a first time home buyer. You know, so there's a lot of products out there. If somebody's looking at that, there's a lot of products out there to use to get that down. If anybody has anybody, and they want to contact me, you know, they can give me probably the easiest way is to go hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Go to my website. You got all my contact information there. You've got a contact me area, so you can fill out that information. But, you know, John, what about, you know, how is the health of the interest rate mortgage market currently? What would you say there?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, it comes and goes up day to day. It changes every day. Again, today was a more of a poor day for interest rates. Again, we dropped 70 basis points. Every 100 equates to about 0.25% in interest rate. We dropped 70, but then since then, we came back from its lows of the day. We're only down 40. Not a happy day for interest rates, but like I said, every day changes. Tomorrow could be a purchase-back day for mortgage-backed securities, and maybe we'll come back and break that ceiling of resistance, get our pricing back that we had yesterday. But in a nutshell, that's looking very micro. Again, interest rates in this range that we're trading in, even in the 200 basis point range that we're trading in, they're going to be aggressive in the entire range. It all just depends on the timing of your transaction and when you purchase a home. And when you have that little, you have a window of like 30 days, 45 days, whatever, 15 days, whatever window it is that you have to buy a home, that's when you want an expert to sit with you and say, all right, here's our window. It's game time. Let's plan. Here's mortgage-backed securities. Here's a floor they sat on in this, you know, recently. Here's a ceiling they're battling. Let's see where we can get you the best interest rate in the window we're working. We'll get you in this investment, and then you can start reaping some of the rewards of the appreciation since all this demand's coming to market. I think that's the best game plan.
Yeah. And, you know, and every day mortgage rates move up and down, as you said, but rates are still, you know, all in all, they're still phenomenal. So, you know, it's a very good market as far as the interest rates are concerned. You know, and going with that, is this a good time for someone to buy or refinance a home?
Yeah, perfect time. I mean, like we were just saying, interest rates historically low. Couple that with these rates of appreciation that I just spoke about. Again, for CoreLogic, 5.6% going forward over the next 12 months. I mean, strong appreciation, historical low interest rates. I think it's definitely a great time to get into the housing market, reap some of the rewards that you'll make over the next year. If you bought a house last year, according to CoreLogic, you made 3.5% on your investment. I mean, you could sit down and do the math, you know. Or what if you didn't buy a home last year, right? Think about that. If a $300,000 home increased by 3.5%, do some quick math. Oh, it's about $10,000 if you want just roughly estimate. So now that home is worth $310,000.
Right.
So you just made 10 grand. But if you didn't buy the home, now that home is $310,000. You have to pay another 10 grand to buy it.
Right.
Or your down payment. If you're putting 20% down, instead of putting $60,000 down, now you're putting $64,000 down, right? So think of it that way.
Right.
Your down payment's going to increase if you wait, and you're not enjoying the appreciation that you would have made. And also, when you buy a home, you pay into your principal, right, every month?
Right.
And little by little, you're starting to pay into your principal a little bit. I know in the beginning of an amortization table, it's very weak. It's more weighted towards the interest. But if you think about it and maybe you wait 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, what about all that principal that you would have paid into that mortgage? I like to call it a forced savings plan. Right? So now you don't have that forced savings plan because you didn't wait. I mean, because you waited. So there's a lot of things that are risk of loss if you don't make a move sooner than later. So this is a good time. Again, what you just asked, if it's a good time to get in, to buy, totally. Refinancing as well. Second part of your question. You know, interest rates historically low. If depends on your scenario, of course. If you have a scenario, maybe you're paying mortgage insurance, maybe you're not, maybe your interest rate's a little high, you know, maybe you want to refinance to a 15-year term with a more aggressive interest rate to get to a similar payment, pay it off a little early. There's a lot of benefits for refinancing, but it has to be fit for the right scenario. Again, you got to sit with an expert and work the numbers.
Right. Yeah, that's the best thing anybody could do is sit down, talk to somebody, you know, like me, and I will, you know, walk them through that because, you know, You want to help people. I always want to help people make the right decision. Sometimes
Correct.
That is to refinance. Sometimes it's not to refinance. You know?
Right. And so you're paying mortgage insurance, and maybe because your amortization scale, you're still have to pay the mortgage insurance. But maybe you didn't realize that your home appreciated by a good amount. Again, there's pockets across the country. Maybe it's more than the 3.5% CoreLogic says, but maybe it is just that 3.5% appreciation. Maybe it's a 2%, but maybe that 2% that your home appreciated enables you to take out enough equity to have, what is it, 20% ownership in the home, right, Rick?
Right, right.
To not pay mortgage insurance. So once you achieve that equity amount, and you don't have to pay the mortgage insurance. And then, so maybe a refinance is definitely the right way to go.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different moving parts. And again, it always boils down to having an expert look at the numbers with you and just discuss it with you on a professional level.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
As an expert.
Hey, John, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your time as always. It's always fun chatting with you.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much. This
Thank
is
you.
Indy's Real Estate Gurus. If you need to get a hold of me through the week, just feel free to go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you can just go to the contact page there, or you can get my contact information off the site and give me a call or send me an email. Thanks again, and you have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Rickma. Please join us again next Saturday at 3:30 on Freedom 95.